Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
We'll take off today from the book of Isaiah chapter 34. Here, what I want to bring out is the personality of God and the fulfillment of his promises or his word. That is God's word. Despite what human beings call the prevailing circumstances, his word will still be fulfilled if faith is found in the heart of those that hear it. Are you getting my point? If you receive the promises of God with faith, his word will be fulfilled. The reason being that his word actually creates. It doesn't respond to the things on the earth. It creates the things that are on the earth. That is, if God says something, he's not saying that I will do this if all things are equal. Are you getting my point? God doesn't say that. He will say to Abraham, by myself I have sworn, in blessing, I will bless you. Which teaches me that God doesn't swear by anything else apart from himself. He doesn't swear by what jobs are available at the time that you'll be needing them. He does not swear by what the economy will be like at the time you need to place your demand upon it. He swears by himself. Therefore, if the economy does not do well, God knows what to do to make his promise become fulfilled in your life. Remember, I ended last week by explaining the issue about the personality of God in this our series on creating the opportunities for prosperity. I said, if we know who God is, that is, we understand his character, we understand his presence, then we find it easier to have faith in our heart and have the opportunity for prosperity created in our environment. We said that first of all, that opportunity must be created in our heart. And I'm outlining the way by which it will be created. I said, one, we must understand the personality of God. His ruler in the affairs of men, he lives above the circumstances. His word rules over all. His kingdom, the Bible says, rules over all. So I said we should open to the book of Isaiah chapter 34. Now here, he was talking about judgment actually. And he was talking about what will happen to the land after he will have judged them. And in that light, he described the fact that thorns shall come up in his 45 towers, verse 13. Then described the kind of animals that will be found there. He said, you'll find jackals, ostriches. Desert creatures shall meet with the wolves. The hairy goat also shall cry to his kind. That's in verse 14. It says, yes, the ninth monster shall settle there and shall find herself a resting place. Talk about the street snake that will lay its eggs and the hawks that will be gathered. It says, everyone with his kind. That's in verse 15. But this is the point. God was saying this knowing that at the time of the prophecy, these things were not normal to the cities that he was talking about. These were populated cities. Are you getting my point? These were cities where human beings indwelled. Therefore, he didn't expect snakes, hawks, hairy goats, night monsters, things that normally are found in the wild. Are you getting me? So he now said, which is my message for this evening. From verse 16, he now said, in case, let me put my own words now so you will understand. In case you are wondering about how these things will be, in case you are surprised about the thing that God is promising that he's going to do, he said in verse 16, seek from the book of the Lord and read. He said, don't be confounded. Not one of these will be missing. None will lack its mate. That is, they will actually come male and female. Is it because it is normal? He said, no. He said, for his mouth has commanded and his spirit has gathered them. That verse 16, I want you to note. That is, look at all these things that God said he will do. The things that he said he will find in the place of his judgment. He said, not one of them will be missing. The reason is not because it is a natural place for them to be. He said, but because the mouth of the Lord has commanded. And every time the mouth of the Lord commands, his spirit will go out and we gather them. That is, you know, one day, I was speaking with a man. I bought a phone and I looked inside the phone and it was made in a particular country. And I said, wow, this country is really developing. They now make these phones there. I said, one day they will make these phones in Nigeria. And he looked and said, impossible. I said, why? He said, what can be made in Nigeria? I said, anything. He said, hey, excuse me. With the kind of power failure we're experiencing, he gave all the excuses. I was not in the mood to argue, so I didn't say anything. But I'm telling those of you listening to me again tonight that he said, seek from the book of the Lord and read. He said, not one of these will be missing. Now that is, it is not because we are saying it is natural. He said, but because when the time of the manifestation of the promise of God will come, his spirit will go out and we gather them. Again, my scriptural example is Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and it was void. It said darkness was upon the surface of the deep. That is, power failure was upon the surface of the deep. That is, the infrastructure was entirely upside down. And then God looked, because the Bible said that the Spirit of God, notice this, was moving over the surface of the waters. Nothing natural occurred. The natural progression of things didn't occur. What happened was God said, let there be light. And his Spirit went out and gathered light. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, before God spoke, we could have called conferences on the things that are possible on this earth. And everybody will say nothing. Like God spoke to the prophet. He said, can these bones live? And the prophet looked and in his mind, he said, impossible. But you cannot tell God not anything like that. So he said, okay, God, you are the only one that knows. Are you getting my point? And God said, this is the solution to that question. It's not just about what is natural. It is about what we are going to say about it. He said, prophesy, son of man, prophesy. That is, once you prophesy, what will happen is that my Spirit will go out and gather them. I'm explaining something about the personality of God. That God does not respond, or nor is he subject to natural situations. What he does is that when he speaks, his Spirit goes out to create new opportunities. Are you getting my point? Remember what I said, that when we are talking about creating the opportunity for prosperity, the first place that the opportunity must be created is in our hearts. And that is by understanding that it is what? Possible. But it is not possible just because we wish it to be possible. That's why I don't like the title motivational speaker. Because many motivated people ended up failing. I read the story many years ago about Bernard Trevisan, a man who inherited lots of money from his father and therefore had a lot of resources. But he had something in his heart. He believed that you could turn base metals to gold if you found the formula. And he spent all his life. He died at the age of 76. He had worked for over 40 years trying to turn base metals to gold. And when he was going to die, he said, I have discovered that to make gold, you have to start with gold. He was motivated. He failed. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? We have said so many things about Thomas Edison. He said Thomas Edison tried for thousands of times the connections of the incandescent bulb before it finally worked. He said the man was dogged and he finally succeeded. I said, let me tell you the matter of fact. It was because it was going to work. I don't know whether you get my point. There are people who doggedly followed other things and they failed. That is why I take my wisdom from afar and I ascribe righteousness to my maker, that with God, all things are possible. That's what I'm saying. It is not if you focus your mind on it. There are many things people focus their minds on and nothing happened. Because the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. That's what I'm preaching. I'm preaching the grace of God. What is the grace of God? It's the release of the power of God once his words are believed. That is, he said, seek from the book of the law and read. Not one of these shall fail, neither shall any want her mate. He said, because the mouth of the Lord has commanded, therefore his Spirit has gone out and it has gathered. What am I trying to say? We'll take Nigeria as an example. He said, this country, can good come to this land? Listen, if good is afar, when God says it will come, it will come. He said, this is how God is. He said, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. If the man holding the favor with which God will turn your life around, where you are right now, is currently in Australia, God said, I will speak a word and quickly he will come down to where you are to show you that favor. Listen to me, when God was going to preserve the life of the widow of Zarephath, it was not by chance. He spoke to Elijah. Go there. Go and live there. I want to, through you, preserve that woman. That is, I said something last time, that when we are talking about prophetic callings, the way God called Elijah, God still calls people. But because they may not be prophets, they may not whisper in their ears, but opportunities will suddenly arise and people will start rushing down. Are you getting my point? I mean, I remember before the days of GSM revolution, telecom revolution in Nigeria, our president then went to the UK and told Tony Blair to prevail upon Vodafone and like companies, BT Cellnet and Co., to come and invest in Nigeria. At that time, all of them looked and decided Nigerians didn't have enough, they didn't have enough resources to sustain, are you getting me, their investment. That was what they said. They looked and said, this earth is null and void. And darkness is upon the surface of this country. But listen, currently, the leading provider in Nigeria has over 15 million subscribers. And they are still complaining that the rural areas are not well covered. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, Look, the projections of people cannot confound the wisdom of God. He said, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a distant country. So if God says, okay, there is a special kind of favor that I want to show you, but the person, the only person on earth that has equipment to show you that kind of favor is currently in Mexico. God said, no problem. Declare, and that man will come down to Nigeria. He will come looking for investment. And then somebody will tell him that, you want somebody who can be trusted. It will turn out to be the person that he's your friend and who trusts you. Because the way things happen in life, that's why Solomon said, time and chance happens to all men. Having studied the scriptures and taking from the words of Miles Monroe, I said time and chance are not just chance occurrences. They describe the name of angels or a group of angels. That is, these are ministering spirits. The Bible says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth? Now listen, to go and minister on behalf of those that will inherit the salvation of God. That is, when God wants to save, bless, and pour prosperity upon people, God sends forth his angels to go and gather. What am I trying to say? We are not talking about chance here. We are describing the God who indeed is in charge and is in control. And if we agree with him, remember what we started with about 2 broadcasts ago? We said that we can limit the hand of God. We can prevent God from doing that thing that he wants to do. But once we agree with him, because allowing God is a matter of faith. He said the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. That is, if we hear the word and mix it with faith, then the angels of God will go out and do wonders on our behalf. That's what I'm preaching to the children of God. Are you getting my point? I'm describing the personality of God. I said creating the opportunity for prosperity. Number one, the opportunity is first created in your heart. You must settle in your heart, it is possible. God can do good things for you anywhere. There was one scripture I referred to in the book of Isaiah chapter 50. When God was describing his personality, he said, is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? He said, this is the way it works. Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. That is, God was describing his power there. That these are the things that he has done and he can do. And concerning the dry land, he said, I pour water upon that land that is thirsty. That is, as I'm drying up one place, I'm pouring up, I dry up a whole sea, and I turn a desert to a well-watered garden. Are you getting my point? Please, you must bear that in mind. That is, the God that you serve, who you are praying to. I like the way Jabez prayed. The Bible said Jabez prayed to God. And you know, the name of Jabez was what? Son of sorrow. That is, pain. In pain, his mother gave birth to him. And listen, for the Bible to have told us his name, it's because his name was reflecting in his life. I don't know whether you get my point. The man said, this is the reason why I won't do well. So he went to God and prayed. He said, oh, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my coast and make my name great. And the Bible said that the Lord heard Jabez. You know what it means? God turned his name from being son of sorrow to a son of jubilation to a son of rejoicing. Are you getting my point? Look, one word that came to me powerfully years ago, which I have held until now, which I know can never fail. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, I noticed that he said flow towards you, not you going up and down like Satan looking for it. They asked Satan, where are you coming from? He said, from going to and fro the surface of the earth. I am not Satan. I have come to understand that if I settle in a place, God can indeed furnish water in the wilderness. What am I saying? First assignment in creating the opportunity for prosperity is to create it in your heart and come to understand that it is what? Possible. I hope you've understood that point. All right, from there, I want to go on to the next thing, and that's talking about the fact that it is necessary. It is necessary. You know, first of all, I talked about it is possible. That you must understand in your heart. Because see, like I said, the opportunity is first created in your heart. And these are the things you settle in your heart. Number one, it is what? Possible. Number two, it is necessary. Before I develop that further, I need to emphasize this matter of the heart of a man. Don't forget what we said, that from the heart flows forth the issues of life. When we're talking about the heart, that is, we're talking about what is settled in a man's thinking. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And let me add this one to it. That's how the earth responds to him. I remember one story in some of those books we read as children, that's in primary school, about a slave that was going to go out with his master for an occasion. And his master dressed him up very well. He wore very nice clothes and everything. On the way, he told his master that, please, do you mind not telling anybody that I'm asleep so that I can have a nice time and enjoy myself? The master said, oh, no problem. I don't have to tell anybody. So they got to the place. Well-dressed guy sat down amongst important people, except that when they began to serve food, and food would fall down from the table, he would bend down, pick it, and eat it. That is, in his heart, he was still asleep, even though his master dressed him up very well. Even though his master didn't tell anybody that he was asleep. Are you getting me? But in his heart, he was still a slave. So the thing just showed up. That is, because of what was in his heart, the environment created opportunities for him to manifest that which was in his heart. Are you getting the point I'm making here? No, so that's, I need to emphasize that thing. And when we're talking about what's inside a man's heart, they are the thought patterns you have in your heart. They are the ideas that you have fossilized inside you. The things that you hold on to tenaciously. There are those things that control your life. And that's why we're saying that you must first create a room for God in your heart. You must create a room knowing in your heart. That is, you must get to a position in your heart that you have a new set of thought patterns. That you have a new set of ideas. If you go and read Isaiah chapter 55, God differentiated between himself and other people. He said, the difference between you and I is in the matter of thinking and the matter of words. He said, my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts. That is what you are thinking that decides what come out for you in life. Are you getting my point? I'm just using that to emphasize again that we said first, I can't say it enough, the opportunity must first be created in your heart before we talk about your environment. And in fact, this is the interesting thing about it. Your environment reacts naturally, spontaneously to that which is inside your heart. Are you getting my point? That's why I said the first one is we must understand it is possible. And then number two, we must understand that it is what? Necessary. What do I mean by it is necessary? Now, there are mindsets you see people exhibit in life. And you will understand that they have what I call a poverty mentality. And then a poverty mentality is one of those things I call excuses for Satan. That is, you generate reasons why Satan should hold you in bondage. And I taught in previous times, I explained that life is like a law court. You are the accused or you are the person standing for judgment. That what comes to you in life is a direct result of the judgment that God passes upon you. There are accusers, and the Bible says that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And then we have an advocate with the Father. And then walking on the side of the advocate with the Father, that is Jesus Christ, are those who are blessing you, praying for you, and speaking good towards you. And walking on the side of Satan are those who are angry with you, who are cursing you, who are speaking negatively against you. Now, the resultant effect, that is, the judgment that God passes is not partial. Are you getting my point? God might love you, but still a just judge. And what will come out in your life is a product of how the arguments turn out. Now, and I said then that the most important argument of all is the one that you put up. That is, Jesus is speaking, I have redeemed him. He's a saved man. He's a saved woman. He or she can become anything in life. I have forgiven him of his iniquities. I have shed my blood to make this fellow a successful person. And Satan starts saying that, you know he committed this sin. She did this one. He did that one. And he starts bringing forth his own argument. You know what God is waiting out to hear? What you will say about yourself. If you say, you know what can a man do? This life is so rough. A young man will find it very hard to succeed in this country. Satan will say, exactly my point. Because you have not defended yourself, God, a just God, has no choice. I mean, it's like going to court and they say, are you guilty or not guilty? You say, I am guilty as charged. The judge will say nothing further. He will pass the judgment because you have entered a guilty plea. Are you getting my point? Now, so all the guilty pleas that we give are the things I call excuses for Satan. Now, back to the issue I mentioned earlier about poverty mentality. When I say poverty mentality, a lot of people think they are being humble. Meanwhile, what they have is simply what? A poverty mentality. They have agreed with Satan that we don't need to make progress in life. You hear people say things like, what is a man looking for in life? I've heard this said to me again recently. All you need to do is just have enough money to eat, pay your rent, or own a small house, and be able to send your children to school. I mean, and they think they're talking godliness. Let me explain the principle of God to you. God is not humble in that way. And saying things that are not in keeping with God's order is not humility, is not godliness. Now, I am not preaching covetousness and greed. I am saying that when God blessed Abraham, he said, I will bless you so that you will be a blessing. A man that has enough to eat, pay his own house rent or own a small house, maintain his little car and send his children to school is a man living only for himself. He's not a blessing to anybody else. Are you getting my point? A young man called me recently and we were discussing. And he said that in his church, he noticed that there are not a lot of young guys who every time they are broke and they're always asking people for money. He so said, one day he now called a number of them. He said, go and write for me what you want to do, what you would love to do if you had money to do it, and bring it. And of course, a number of them wrote things that made sense and which he could afford to help them set up. And he brought forth the money and set the men up. And like Paul said, I have taught you by an example to show you how you ought to walk and help those who are in need. That is, having helped those people, they started walking and became people helping other people. That was not somebody who had enough just to eat. Are you getting my point? Pay his rent, pay his children's fees, maintain a little car. No, that's what we are calling prosperity mentality. Now, let me explain something to you. Remember I said I'm talking in this series about creating the opportunity for prosperity. I did not say learning how to get prosperity for yourself, but I simply left it open, creating the opportunity for prosperity. Because when Solomon prospered, it was not just Solomon that prospered, it was Israel that prospered. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. That is, it wasn't just that Solomon had so much that he had no problems. It was that the Bible says that gold was so common, that is, there was so much gold in the land and so much silver that people didn't reckon with silver. You know what that meant? Because they were dealing in bigger things. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. That it was not just him that prospered, but people who worked with him, who lived in his land. That is, the man not only prospered, he created the opportunity for other people to prosper. That is what I call the prosperity mentality. Do you understand my point? There's this lie of Satan that a lot of us now think it is humility and godliness. It's actually a situation in which nobody is prospering from your life. Are you getting my point? And listen, that's why I said the second thing that you must understand is that it is what? Necessary. It is not only possible, it is what? Necessary. That you owe it to God in life to succeed. You owe it to your generations, to your children, to people after you to do well in life, because like I said at the beginning, the good things that God wants to pour upon this earth must come through people. Because the heavens are the heavens of the Lord and the earth he has given to the sons of men. One of the things that mark out those who have really succeeded materially in life, who have built great things, was that they set out in life. Maybe not to build things as great as they ended up building, but they set out not just to satisfy themselves. They just set out to create something on the earth. I hope you're getting my point. And look, this is a divine principle. Now, God doesn't just give you what you want. I said before that life gives you what you expect, but God does not just give you what you expect. Now, please, listen to this. He gives you what you will know how to use. Are you getting my point? When he gave his talents out to his servants, and he was going to put the people in charge of cities, he said, the man that has made 5 extra talents, put him in charge of 5 cities. And the one, listen, that did not make any money from what he was given, he took the one he gave him, all right, and gave to the man who already had 10. And he now said, to whom that has, more shall be given. The way we have not understanding the principle of God is that we have thought that what God was saying is that if you are rich, you become richer. And if you are poor, you become poorer, the way we look at it. So communism will not tell you that, no, everybody must be equal. Listen to me, don't fool yourself. It is not possible in life for everybody to be equal. Even if you call everybody and give them $1 million each, give them 2 weeks. At the end of 2 weeks, one man is broke and one guy has already made $100 million. It's a spiritual force. You know what God is doing? He says, I give you the one you are able to handle. So when he saw the man that neglected to handle the single one he gave him, he had to place it somewhere else. And the most appropriate place to put it is a man who had already handled 10 effectively. You are getting what I'm going to say here. So the principle, the godly and Christian doctrine of wealth, which I'm saying you must put in your mind, is necessary. It's not that, me to know another very, very big car. No, the way I have taught people to appreciate life is to say, now I have employed 5 people. A young man was speaking once. Somebody said, why don't you come to our company and come and work? He said, why should I come and work in your company? Right now, I know it appears like you have more money than I do. And I know that you think that I'm qualified to take the kind of job that you have. Let me tell you why I don't want your job. You have a lot of money. Fine. I pay salaries for about 10 people. Listen, when I wake up in the morning, I know there are 10 families waiting for me to perform. When I go about my business, I know this business must do well because there are 10 families that feed from it. At the end of the day, I may not drive your kind of car. At the end of the day, I may not travel abroad for every holiday that I have. I may not wear your quality of wristwatch, spray your kind of perfume. But I can assure you, at least 10 families are eating because I'm alive and well. Are you getting the point I'm making? It is necessary. God said, my city's true prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. That is, the kingdom of God will increase when I prosper and extend my influence in life. Then I decree godliness everywhere I have power. If a godly man runs a company, bribery and corruption is out. Sexual harassment in that company is out. Are you getting my point? There are times you hear that, this movie industry, this music industry. I said it's because they are not being run by godly people. Therefore, godly people should arise and do their own thing. So that nobody needs to sleep with anybody to get a role in a movie. You don't need it. It's the power of godliness. That's why I'm preaching. It is not only possible, it is necessary. You owe it to God. Listen, if you have a job, you just settle, just they pay you a lot of salary. Listen, I don't want to scare you. If you are a child of God, be careful. God might take it from you if you are not doing what you are supposed to do. If you have more than other people, it's because God has given you an assignment that other people don't have concerning material things. Are you getting my point? Listen, there's a principle I like to operate. Before I do something great and good for myself, I look around to be sure that I have extended such good to other people. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. If I find that, I wear fine clothes. I ask myself, how many people have worn fine clothes because of me? Do you follow my point? If I can't count plenty, no new fine cloth again. No, it's forbidden. Every time you're the only one spraying fine perfume, go and buy perfume for somebody else too. It's very scriptural. Please, I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. You know, you don't just live for yourself. That's not godly thinking. The principle of prosperity, look, I've told you before, that God rules in the affairs of man. He gives the kingdom over to whosoever he wishes. And what God will give is what he will know how to use. So you demonstrate for him how you are able to handle that which is great. Please deliver yourself from this cult of poverty. What I call cult of poverty. I just need enough money to eat, build a small house, buy a small car, and educate my children. Those are satanic ideas. They are not godly ideas. What about the people that don't have a father? Yes, you are a father. You have enough for your children. What about the people that don't have a father? How are you going to help them? That's why I'm preaching the doctrine of it is necessary. I'm talking about creating the opportunity for prosperity. One, it's possible. Two, it is necessary. You must put all these things in your heart, because once your heart has imbibed the truth, then suddenly you will discover that actually God had created opportunities long ago. It's just that the wrong ideas in your heart did not let your eyes see them. Do you get what I'm going to say? Listen, you know, everywhere in life there are obstacles. When Moses came out of Egypt, he looked and there was a Red Sea in front. Do you know the only reason why he parted the Red Sea? Because he knew where they were going is behind the Red Sea. Do you understand my point? If he was not facing a particular direction and looking for a particular goal, Red Sea would never have been parted. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. That is when you put it in your mind that number one, is not only possible, it is necessary. Then when you see challenges, God will open your eyes. You will stretch forth your staff and the Red Sea will part for your sake. Listen, everyone who fails, we have a just excuse for that failure. I don't know whether you are getting my point. Therefore, don't ever listen to them as proof that you too will fail. What I'm saying is this. When Jesus entered in his hometown and did not do any mighty work, it was not because he was incapacitated. But those people were able to prove that they knew this boy from time and he can't do anything. How did they prove it? He came to his hometown. Did he do anything? Nothing. But we now know it's because of their unbelief. That's what I'm trying to say. So anyone who fails, we have good reasons. I built 5 companies. Nepal killed all of them. I did this one. Government legislation finished it. Local government corruption ended this one. He will tell you stories as to prove to you that you don't need to try. But listen to me. You either try or you die. That's just the way it works. You are a child of God. You are an assignment. You must create something good. And listen, let me tell you something. When God was going to cast people into the lake of fire, let me frighten you with this one before I go. Amongst those who he cast inside were the fearful, not just the adulterers and the idolaters. I hope you are getting my point. That is, the people had the strength, but they said, this fight, why fight it? We have a resting place here. After all, they are paying me a good salary. Listen, your object in life must never be a good salary that you earn. It must be a good salary that you pay. I hope you've got my point. It is not only possible, it is what? necessary.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org.